Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. I also going to just use my own discretion. I'm also going to report out for the closed session on January 31st.
As you recall, at the January 19th meeting, at the conclusion of that meeting, the board did re-adjourn the closed session. At the conclusion of that meeting, to discuss one item pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, that was the general manager's performance evaluation. My report from that closed session is the board considered the evaluation but took no reportable action. Then on January 31st, 2012, we did have a special meeting. We had two items listed in closed session, all of which were pursuant to Government Code Section 54957. One was employee release, the acceptance of the district general manager's resignation
of a contract, which has been added to tonight's agenda. To appoint Mitch Cooney as the interim general manager. That will be a separate agenda item under agenda item 6. Then tonight, we had several items that were listed on closed session. First of all, to existing litigation, we had a couple of matters. First of all, we had the bankruptcy litigation. We had the Golden State versus, or LOCSD versus Golden State. This is the general groundwater adjudication, or the ISJ. We had Dubink versus San Luis Obispo County et al., which included the district. And then we had initiation of litigation where we discussed one case. The board took action on one of those items, and that's LOCSD versus Golden State et al. And what the action that was taken was to use the Water Quality Trust Fund, which has an outstanding balance of approximately $126,000. The board, on a unanimous vote, agreed to budget $35,620 towards completion of parts of the ISJ basin management plan with a goal of having a public review draft before the public by the end of March. On all the rest of the items that were on.
I'm ready to go. Good evening, board, public. My name is Al Barrell, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. And as usual, I'd like to speak to the concern I have for the affordability of the Los Osos extremely expensive, unaffordable wastewater project, which will be a huge burden on about 50% of the people in the Prohibition Zone that live there that are renters that will be probably having to, some of them, give up their housing. There should never, ever be this kind of wastewater expense that forces people out of their homes. That has never, ever been a policy of this state or this county. And lately, we've discovered more disturbingly that many of the documents that were produced by the county in their efforts since 2006 have so much bias in them that they are fraudulent, including the application for $86 million in funding from the USDA loan program, which was actually part of the ARRA, American Reinvestment and Recovery Act. So these are federal stimulus packages that stipified a shovel-ready project. Of course, we all know that last fall the county spent another $5 million redesigning this horrible project. And why is it horrible? Well, here's a little clue. It has 180 conditions on the flow, and if there's an earthquake, it will be destroyed completely because it's in mapped liquefaction area completely. So I just sent a letter to the USDA explaining that the CSD had not done the mitigation for that risk that's involved in putting a gravity sewer in this environment. They have not done anything about the mitigation of this, and I requested that they would require the county to put that in the engineering report. And that's the end of my statement. And I would like to welcome the new general interim manager for the second time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Good evening, Bo Cooper. I'd like to say amen to what Al is saying and a lot of other people about the unaffordable sewer and the economic cleansing that's going to do to much of the community. Thousands of people will leave their homes. You've heard that many times before, and it is true. It's painfully, painfully true. I got a new angle on it. I was looking at the letter that the county sent to the water board when they're going for the 0% loan, and they end up with a 2% loan. So I was looking at Exhibit B. And Exhibit B, they talk about monthly costs, and though I think the numbers are low, I'll use their numbers. At 2%, they say it's going to cost $217 a month. That's their number. They also have another number where I can show that it's $105 on the tax bill averaged out per month, plus $88 for the rates and charges, which have been passed, and plus another $63 for the... Who can afford 2%? What is $217 is 2% of what? Who can afford $217 if 2% is the correct benchmark? As I calculated out, 2% of $217 is $130,000 a year. That's what people have to make, $130,000 a year at $217. At $250, which I think is the more accurate number, 2% of that, which is the EPA benchmark for what people can afford for wastewater, $150,000 a year. So families that make $150,000 a year can afford it, and God bless you for being able to stay in Los Osos. People making less of that is trouble. The other benchmark that they talk about right underneath the EPA affordability is the USDA affordability index, and also the Department of Public Health index, which is 1.5% of the median household income. So 1.5% of a person's household income is what they can afford. What is 1.5% of $215? $174,000. And then the shocker of shockers to me, what is 1.5% of $250 a month, which is what is most likely actually going to happen? 1.5% of $250 is $200,000 a year. So I am making a quarter of that. I'm a program manager. I'm a regular person who's working. There are many retired people who own their houses but have no income coming in. They're going to have to pay boku bucks. So that's a real problem. I also want to say, if you want to protest people at home, change.org, C-H-A-N-G-E, change.org has a petition on the internet. Go to change.org and punch in on the search box, Los Osos sewer.
Talking about at the end of his public comment, Gary Freiberg, who's a longtime resident of Los Osos, got inspired by the unaffordability of the sewer to start a petition recently. And I'm just going to read a few excerpts from the petition. This is the letter. If you sign the petition, which is going out to the Board of Supervisors, state and federal officials, your representatives. Greetings. I just signed the following petition addressed to, and as I said, all these state officials and the Water Board. Stop the most expensive per capita sewer in the United States, the Los Osos sewer. I'm writing to express my sincere, deep concern for the financial well-being of families, individuals, retirees, business, jobs, schools, and public services in San Luis Obispo County. From the economic consequences of building the most expensive per capita sewer in the United States, the $190 million Los Osos wastewater project, most commonly referred to as the Los Osos sewer. This is a difficult economic time to add a monthly average of $200 to $300 in debt obligation to the budgets of close to 5,000 households of homeowner or renting families, individuals, and retirees in Los Osos Baywood Park who are required to pay the new sewer assessments. This added monthly expense makes a difference, and I would say a huge difference, to a lot of people. It will displace many households and cause serious financial disruption, affecting parents' ability to provide for their families, kids having a less stressful home environment, and the financial sewer tax assessment. This loss consumer spending means lower sales tax revenue for county schools and public services. It means county business, job stability, and new job creation in San Luis Obispo County are going to be negatively impacted for the next 30 to 40 years. It means less tax revenue for our state. This long-term economic consequence cannot be ignored. And I'm just going to the end here. Please exercise your authority, stop the building of the Los Osos sewer, and suspend the recently implemented property tax assessment until the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors can bring a project that will keep families and retirees in their homes, preserve jobs and businesses in San Luis Obispo County, and stabilize revenues to county schools and public services. I just want to say, go to change.org.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Lacey.
You.
Next, please. Julie, oh, you have a hand up. Okay, we won't start your time until you get back to the podium.
I am Julie Tacker, and the threat of seawater intrusion is real. Says so in the Napomo Community Services District propaganda to vote in their 218. Personally, I don't like Los Osos being used this way. Our seawater intrusion has nothing to do with their issues, but nevertheless, we do have seawater intrusion, and that's a good message to get out. I'm passing out my comments on my New Year's reading. Last meeting, I told you I had my Christmas for condition compliance, and you will find, again, the draft Los Osos Wastewater Recycled Management Plan that was sent to the Coastal Commission back in November. Now, it's a lengthy document. There are several topics. The ones that I chose to speak to, and I sent my comments to the Coastal Commission. I hope your Utilities Advisory Committee takes this up. I hope your board takes this up. But I think we better hurry up because, you know, the county thinks they're going to break ground in May. One of the subjects I wanted to mention is that we haven't had a public process on this document. The board hasn't talked about it, so we should. I wanted to talk about the urban reuse. And the fact is, negotiations are going on with the schools to reuse the treated wastewater. The negotiations are for five-year contracts. So we're going to spend a lot of money moving that water down to those schools, and they can get out of it in 5 years. We also will be paying for the purple pipe system on their lawns, new sprinkler systems. That comes out of our sewer bill. The ag reuse, there's a map attached to my handout there. Ag reuse, the best seawater mitigation we're going to get from ag is in that creek compartment. Three of the six parcels that have preliminary agreements are in the creek compartment, so not enough. The idea behind where they're going with this is that if these farmers show, to date we've only budgeted $3 to $3.5 million, and within that, and of course that's draft,
Julie,
only $100 per toilet, it right. will be rebated, $100.
Our Utility Advisory Committee is going to be looking at
going
this.
To, Marshall.
Yes.
Going to.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you we right. have we got to do it now.
Okay. Thank you.
Question. For the record, Julie, Jonathan, his name?
Bishop.
Full name and
Jonathan
oh,
Bishop.
Oh, sorry. Jonathan Bishop at California
Coastal Staff
Coastal
Analyst
Commission
in
staff.
Santa Cruz.
Okay. I think the question was for me, Marshall.
Well, it's not
it was.
Allowed. It has to come through me.
Okay.
Any further public comment?
Don Bearden, Los Osos Prohibition Zone. I've heard people keep urging you to stop the sewer. I encourage you to let the sewer go. Do not stop it. I want ground to be broken in May. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Gwen?
My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. And I listened to what Mr. Seitz said this morning, or afternoon, evening, regarding the appointment of Mitch Cooney. My question is, in this general manager appointment, is it full-time? Is it going to be an interim? Or are we appointing Mitch as it was held before, where he was a interim general manager until a full-time general to hire him? This was not done previously, and it created more problems than it solved. And this is a part of the responsibility of this CSD board, is to make sure that your general manager is who and what they say they are and are able to do what they are supposed to do.
Frank Cilio, Los Osos. Just to add on to what Gwen just said, to get the information from him. Also, if it's a her, would you get that information from her too, please? It's about seawater intrusion. I keep coming up and talk, month after month, year after year, about seawater intrusion. And this year so far, we're having a dry season. When I've looked on the weather service about the prediction for the year, we're supposed to be below average this year in the amount of rainfall we're going to receive. And that's pretty, a pretty good cycle that California has. We have wet seasons, we have dry seasons, droughts. But the problem is seawater intrusion keeps moving. And it keeps taking up fresh water that this community needs to provide the water needs of this community. And so I would hope that this board would be, show very strong action to the public, because you're kind of still quiet about the seawater intrusion. Maybe behind closed doors you're not. Though I know occasionally I think Marshall has brought up some issues about seawater. And if I look at things like today's New Times, and I see the solar system that's supposed to be out there, Teresa Plains, they're laying off half their workers, it says, and that they're having some engineering problems. They always have problems. And so because it looks good, the county kind of fixed up the issue regarding how they were going to deal with seawater intrusion. It's going to work out fine. It hasn't worked out fine. Their information has been wrong so far about the issue of seawater intrusion, as it has increased much faster than they say it was happening. Due to your reports that you've been involved with. So if there's ways that you can be even more active than you have been, I think the public would really appreciate it in this area. Bye now.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. I just had a couple of responses. Regarding Julie, I appreciate your analysis here, and I'm sorry that you had to spend your New Year's Eve doing this. But I would want to remind everybody that Condition 97, which was the condition that required all of the water be restored into the groundwater basin, was changed at this district's urging, because that was not the original condition that was there. So we are very interested in making sure that all that water comes back into the basin. Regarding the seawater intrusion and Frank's comments, we do have two active subcommittees working right now in utility advisory, coming up with conservation measures and an educational program. So Leonard will discuss that more when he comes up with his utility advisory committee report. But I want Chief Vanaris, you're actually getting to do your report before 7:30. How's that?
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, appreciate the opportunity to be here before 7:30. I'd like to talk real quickly about the community emergency response team training we had this week. It was well attended. We had a good time up at the South Bay Training Center. Probably 15 or so community members from Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Los Osos, And the reason I bring it up is we're reinvigorating that program, that process, we have another meeting on April 4th in Morro Bay. And so what I'd like from the board and members of the public, if there's anybody who's interested in an initial community emergency response team training, to start, send that information into Amy at Station 15. The phone number is 528-1053. And we'll start taking a list of prospective students for that course. We believe it will be sometime in the springtime, and that will be a continuation of the process for the community emergency response team. So, and you'll hear more about that next month at my monthly report. Before you have the December 2011 monthly report as well as the annual report. So I'll detail out the December calls first and then 2011. In December, there's 84 calls out of Station 15. Two of those were simultaneous calls. Of those two, both of them required advanced life support from the paramedics. There were 60 medical aids and four incidents reported as traffic collisions with 4,009. So the call volume is increasing at the fire station statistically. So of those 1,206 calls, 63 were simultaneous calls. 50% of those required advanced life support, or 33. There were 787 calls for medical aids. This percentage, medical aids versus fires, is very much of a standard throughout the nation, actually. Medical aids typically are our most, we have the most calls for medical aids. Of those 787 calls, 435 required advanced life support by the paramedics, so well over 50%. There were 29 traffic collisions, 71 incidents reported as fires, and a variety of other incidents out there. Company 15 came back a total of 159 times, so just about every other day is their call volume. If you would like more information on the types of calls or the time of day or the time of the days of the week, if you go to the CalFireSLO.org website, and there is a link on the Los Osos Community Services District Emergency Services webpage, you can see the call volume broke down by hours and by days of the week for those calls. Additionally, for special projects, the Los Osos Focus Group met at Station 15 on December 2nd, and they discussed the status of the current projects and future projects. They discussed and worked on the PowerPoint presentation that you received last board meeting. We also followed up with a tour of some of the projects to take up our assistance with that, with special calls out to Edward Jones Investments, who hosted a bucket, and I'm thinking of the Christmas. Thank you very much. Say it again.
Needs and wishes.
Needs and wishes. We received probably four or five complete buckets of barrels out of that. So we really appreciate the assistance, as do the children and under the care of the San Luis County. Finally, we participated with the Los Osos Parade. You may have seen us down there driving down with Santa Claus and Smokey. That's all I have. If there's any questions or concerns, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Any questions from the directors for the chief?
I just had one quick question. I'm just kind of curious. On traffic incidences, are there known hot spots? And if so, how does that information, is it the sheriff's take care of that in terms of finding out if we need to make corrections or anything, or do you have a part of that?
We do not have a part of that as far as the reporting goes. The county has jurisdiction on the road layer, county roads, and then CHP is one with the agency, the law enforcement agency, having jurisdiction for traffic accidents in the district. So none of this information, though, goes back to them, although they collect it individually.
Do they show up to every accident that you do?
It really depends on response times. The county does not, per se, the public works does not. CHP does, certainly if there's.
And I'll be doing the utilities department report. This is for December 2011. The monthly report serves to keep the LOCSD Board of Directors, General Manager, and the public informed to the status of projects within the Utilities Department, as well as services and activities that are being undertaken. As far as the water operations update for December, in addition to regularly scheduled duties, they replaced a blow-off valve at 13th Street in Santa Isabel, and they worked on meter replacement program, replacing meters that had been in service for more than 10 years. They also submitted monthly compliance monitoring reports, along with a fourth quarterly report on disinfectant disinfection byproducts rule to the California Department of Public Health. In water production and consumption, the total production for the month of December 2011 was 18.75 million gallons. That equates to 604,700 gallons. This represents an increase in the production from last year by about 21.3%. The water billing was for the billing cycle that is 43% of the portion of water service. The billing revenue increased by approximately 16.2% and consumption increased by approximately 17.1% when compared to last year at this time. In the drainage department, she reported that all drainage basins and pump stations were ready for operation during the month of December 2011, just in case we had a lot of rain. And in the wastewater area, crews performed drawdowns on wastewater pumps at both Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro. Vista de Oro had 8,600 gallons of septage pumped, and Bay Ridge Estates had 23,200 gallons of septage pumped and disposed of at the end of November 2011. The recommendation from staff is to encourage each director to ask questions that you may have at this time.
Any questions from directors? Seeing none, we'll move on. LOCAC report, I don't see anybody here from LOCAC, but I was at LOCAC, so I'll give a quick overview of what happened. There was a presentation by the local library director on the services that the library provides. There was a short discussion on their subcommittees, and the committee unanimously recommended that the county approve four projects in Los Osos: a parking adjustment at Oak Grove, a glass blowers down next to Noyes down on 2nd Street, a playground at Baywood Elementary, and a new home in Cabrillo Estates. Skak, how's that? Then we'll move on to our committee reports. First report is the Emergency Service Advisory Committee. I don't know if that's Craig or David. So.
Craig, that's me. All right, let's see. So Emergency Service Advisory Committee met on Wednesday, June 25th.
How about January?
They could have done it then, too.
Could I?
I don't know.
Is it on? Oh, yeah, it's on. Okay. Whoa.
Talking back.
You better now? All right. engine procurement is on schedule. It appears the current size engine... if we were to replace the fire engine with the current size engine we now have, it appears to be about $17,000 higher. The Fire Station 15 will use a smaller size fire truck here coming up this month to see if a smaller engine is sufficient, see how it does, you know, on the hills around here. Bid specifications are not complete yet. We're waiting to hear back from a couple of vendors, and they're still working with Pismo Beach to get the two purchases piggybacked in order to bring down the cause. Hazard mitigation plan is communicated to the board president that the unfinished mitigation plan should be put as a priority. And the general manager and the board president that road improvement funds are not for drainage, and that the just would like that communicated. And the next ES committee meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 21st, and the committee is planning to meet on every third Tuesday of the month.
Well, you're way off.
February. I don't know. I spell check when you're sitting there doing that just goes crazy with you.
Any questions or additional comments?
Mr. Wright, you can give the report.
Okay. The Finance Advisory Committee met Monday, January 30th. At 5:30, I know where I was. Okay, we received the warrant registers for January 2012 and the financial statements for the period ending December 31st, 2011, and the cash and reserve schedules as of January 2012. The committee passed a motion recommended that the board accept them. We also, and those are items, consent items 5B and C. We also discussed the conservation water grant application, which is on the agenda tonight as item 5D. And we also talked about how on the budget timetable in the May meeting, we have to get geared up. We do want to meet with the Utility Advisory Committee, the Water Committee, in regards to it's going to be we're actually going to be moving the Finance Advisory Committee to the fourth Tuesday, so that next meeting will be the 28th. At 5:30. That concludes my report.
Yeah, I'd just like to add one other item. The committee did recommend unanimously the approval of the grant application for the
conservation.
The conservation program in the area of the district outside the prohibition zone. Any questions of either of us? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to Utility Advisory Committee.
No.
We haven't met since last time. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to acknowledge the last meeting was two weeks ago. Yeah.
That's why Craig's
Craig's confused. Here, yeah. Do we have any director's reports of attendance at other agency committee meetings that occurred in the last two weeks? Leonard?
I attended the RAC meeting yesterday. I attended the afternoon session, and of that I was only able to attend half of the afternoon session. I was interested in the agenda item number 7 regarding the subcommittee report on the draft ordinance for the Paso Robles draft ordinance on land use, but there were no really reportable actions or anything, but I'm interested in that because hopefully we can use that a lot of that information for our own our water waste ordinance, some of the elements of that. One of the things in the discussion that came out there was a web scroll across and tells you what plants are in the picture and how to grow them, and there's numerous
Could you repeat
examples.
The website for people that might not have gotten it?
Sure, it is. It's all spelled out slowwaterwiselandscaping.com. slowwaterwiselandscaping.com. I just Googled slow water wise and it came up. There were a couple of items that I did miss. As I said, I couldn't stay for the whole thing. There was a presentation by Acceleron regarding oil production in the Wasna Valley. There was concern about fracking in this project, and apparently from what I could see, they reported that the project will not be doing this. The draft master water plan is now available in county libraries. And there will be a presentation of the plan to the Board of Supervisors on February 14th. And I understand it is a monster of a plan. And then also for a future agenda item on March 7th, the RAC will be discussing the Los Osos Recycle Water Plan. So that is the end of the RAC report.
The UAC, okay, or the RAC.
The RAC.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of Leonard? Does anybody have any announced the RMA board, which is who's our insurer? We're in that pool right now, liability pool. He brought up to the attention of the directors that was there that they do have a program available where you can take certification training for your AB 1234, et cetera, through them. And by taking the programs through SDRMA, that we actually get a discount in our rate from them. So we're going to, Leonard and I both attended that meeting. We're going to go ahead and get further information on that, but I'd like to see all of the directors, as you do your mandatory ethical training, et cetera, run it through SDRMA, because if we can get all certified as that, we can have a significant reduction in our insurance payments for each year. So for your attention, I know you have to do your AB 1234, but I think this is the way we would like to have everybody do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything to add, Len.
I had notes here to say just what you said, so I'll just second that. It did sound very interesting and very advantageous. So,
okay, that brings us then to consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull any of the items for discussion? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to public comment on the administrative committee reports and the consent calendar.
Well, while all the talk has been going on as to how much this forthcoming sewer, if it's built, is going to cost, selling basins for a pocket sewer, which is what you were talking about, is two pocket sewers. I think it would help if the community were told, A, how many people are served by those sewers, and what it costs to pump that pocket out, the place where the pocket sewers sewerage is kept. And where is it being hauled to? And if possible, I would also like to know, and I think the community would like to know, whether these places that the sewerage is being hauled to plan to be in business for much longer. Seemed to me that in trying to figure out what, if it isn't a problem now, will become a problem, we ought to at least have the background so when we do make decisions, we understand what consequences are involved.
Thank you. Frank, are you next?
Frank Silio, Los Osos. I wanted to follow up on, Marshall told me that Leonard was going to address some of the issues about seawater intrusion through the committee, that committee that you're working on. And you brought up about the issue of low water usage landscape. There's a good website on that. I would hope your committee is working with the county to come up with an ordinance. Committee looks at that issue. The other thing, when the chief speaks, and then he takes off, if there's a way that we can speak before he takes off, because I had some questions regarding the road maintenance, does his department, when they do come across road maintenance that are not safe for his staff or the equipment that they use, Do they report that directly to the county, or do they don't say anything to anybody? Because one of you brought up the question about how, about I think with Leonard, about the hot spots for accidents. I had a follow-up question because I was thinking of that earlier about how, you know, the maintenance that they do travel around this area, and there is problems in some spots with road maintenance, and how that may affect their ability to provide the services, fire and life services that they do provide, and how they if they do report that, and to get that kind of information maybe in his reports to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Al?
Thanks again. Our base and water supply and the life of the water utilities company depends on having a sustainable flow. And one of the comments that the county staff made in their coming Tuesday staff report was that they were going to reuse, and we've talked about this before many times, reuse the septic tanks to run the runoff through. Well, it's actually considered the actual cost to the property owners. It's certainly not going to be included in a sewer cost. You know what I'm saying? It's like a kind of a thing that you do if you want to be water wise, you know. So has anybody looked into that, what it would actually cost a property to collect the water and bring it into the septic tank in leach field? And I have to assume that after a few years, all the leach fields will be very operable, if they're not now, and that they would be able to perk that water through the leach field, which would be a better solution than trying to perk it through the groundwater surface. And the reason the surface is because you don't know if you're going to hit a clay lens and it's going to be just sitting in a bowl somewhere. But when you got a 17-foot deep leach pit, you're going to go at least down maybe 20 feet with that water. So that's, I think, something that really needs to be looked at very critically. And thank you for that.
Thank you, Al. Julie?
Julie Tacker, Los Osos. I'd like to speak to agenda item 5D. It was only available to me late Tuesday afternoon. I don't know how the Finance Advisory Committee could have gotten it and vetted all of its issues and then been able to come up with a recommendation for your board. It is a $300,000 grant. The money is to be spent on properties outside conservation money. I see inequity all over the place. I see the haves having more and the have-nots having less. I see that it's in here, guys. Toilets outside the prohibition zone are going to be rebated at $250 a piece. Inside the prohibition zone, yes, it's all draft, $100 a piece. That's a huge inequity. Margaret Faulkner is getting a job out of this. I think she just became aware of it when she got this on her desk on Tuesday. There's misinformation in here. Wallace Group put this together. They build the ISJ. They say that the $5 million that the prohibition zones water conservation element is being paid for is coming from the state revolving fund. If you know anything about the state revolving fund loan, you know that no dollars come to the project until all the USDA money is spent. That will be well into the project, way after we want to be conserving water. It's very, the Board of Supervisors is taking this up on Tuesday. They don't even get a copy of the grant application in their packet. We're running behind the ball. We're way in the back seat again. prohibition zone, you guys have to sign this. And I'm kind of disgusted by it.
Thank you. Gwen? Is anybody out there, Gwen?
Good evening, Gwen Taylor. To elaborate just a little bit on yesterday's RAC meeting, the morning meeting was in reference to a state grant funding that was approved, in which those who have already signed a memorandum of understanding, which our board did, they are going to have to come up with a matching fund that they receive through the state grant funding. My question is, are we not still in a bankruptcy situation, and how can we guarantee through a matching fund MOU that we are going to pay our share of the grant fund that we receive? It is not clear to me how you can spend money that you don't know that you have, because you don't know what the grant, what the bankruptcy is going to determine that you are able to have in your pocket. It is all at the Public Works Department. Courtney Howard has all of the documentation, the information, which is voluminous, and she can get it for you. But the point of all of this is, where is the money going to come under this memorandum of understanding? Because they are going to go back to those who MOU understanding, and whether we're going to actually apply and get the money, or whether we're going to have to step back and not get it. I think there needs to be a little bit more give and take on this grant funding application to the state and our memorandum of understanding as to whether we can give our share or apply our share of the funding and make it available. Please check it out. Thank you.
Any other public comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. I would just like to comment on the grant item briefly. Please, not a discussion, but let me just comment on that briefly. The deadline for application of the grant is February 19th. It is a matching grant, and I would just say this, that what it does is it's used to provide funds for the area outside of the prohibition zone, but still within the district boundaries, to implement water conservation measures. There certainly are some inequities here, and we hope to be able to address those inequities over the next few months, but we do need to get this application in by the 19th. I would also say, you know, the matching money, the $5 million is supposed to be spent by the county regardless, so what we're really doing is just piggybacking on that money and using that as matching funds instead of having to come up with the matching funds ourselves. So we think that it's basically getting money with no more money out of anybody in the district's pocket than's already being spent by the
county. Yeah. The next emergency services committee meeting, they're going to they're going to discuss the road improvements that the fire station would like to see. And 2 years ago, the fire station compiled a list. And so it's my understanding that that list will be there, and the discussion will take place at the next meeting. How or to whom they report, I don't know, but it will be at the next meeting. So maybe that question will be asked there also.
And I think problem, just, and Frank, to address the question, it's been requested of me to be able to have the chief go first and get out of here as soon as possible because he has other responsibilities. So that's why we try to get him at the beginning.
Can we speak to that
particular? I can, you know, I'll look at it, and maybe we can just bring up public comment or questions to the chief right away, and then we'll move on with the remainder of the agenda. I'll have to check with John and see if that's doable, but if I can do that, I will certainly do that, because it's obviously important to everybody to hear what he has to say, but it's important to make sure he's out on his job when he needs to be there. So, and I think the last comment, Leonard has a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to address the under the umbrella of conservation. the UAC has been approaching this in several different ways. One of our, as I mentioned last few reports, that our mission for 2012 is to get the word out about saltwater intrusion and the level 3 severity that we're in district-wide, beyond just not community-wide, not just the district. Saltwater intrusion, those are all major items that we're dealing with on a regular basis in the UAC. So, and as a matter of fact, next UAC meeting, Steve Jones from County Works, who is the design engineer for the drainage that they proposed in the community workshops, is going to be addressing the UAC regarding specifically drainage and how they chose the priorities and versus or compared to what priorities we gave them. So,
and just as a quick follow-up to that, we have offered the county the opportunity to come to our next board meeting and give a short presentation summarizing the 5 community meetings that they were held for the benefit of everybody. So hopefully they'll take us up on that opportunity that we gave them. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and I'll take a motion to accept the administrative reports, committee reports, and the consent calendar items.
I'll second.
We're with you.
We'll have the motion by Director Vogel, second by Vice President Moodhart. Any objection to a unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the items are approved unanimously. That brings us to general action items, and we do have 3 on the agenda. The first one is to consider the amended board bylaws and rules of decorum. These were prepared for our review and adoption tonight after direction was given last meeting. John?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I want to just discuss briefly. The first one is that our new rules of decorum incorporate our travel policies. And you will find that at section 10, where it says the travel and reimbursement policies of the district govern all reimbursements and expenses of the director. So I just want to make sure those are no longer in our bylaws or in a separate policy. Then the committees was the major one that was discussed. And I made some changes to them. I just want to just go over them briefly. And I want to remind the board that you can make further edits tonight and we can still adopt these tonight. So if there's part of your discussion is to make further revisions, that'll be fine. First of all, I revised section 11A. And I did this on my own initiative because I've realized that on a number of occasions we have not gotten standing committee reports or recommendations because of the issue of there being a lack of a quorum at the standing committee meeting. And I revised section 11.1A to say that there is no quorum requirements for a standing committee to meet. However, any recommendations to the board would require 2 voting members to agree to it. So remember, these committees are broken up into 2 types of membership. One is voting members and one is non-voting members. A split term, that each of the new members would be elected to 2-year terms, and then every year the board would appoint a segment or a portion of those committee members. And so I revised section 11.1B and C to reflect that voting committee members shall hold office for 2 years, serving without compensation, and provided that prior to March 15, 2012, the voting members of each standing committee will classify themselves by lot, which means by drawing cards or by luck.
that two of their members shall go out of office on the first board of directors meeting in February 2013, and three would leave office in February 2014. So we would be only appointing two board members, hopefully, 2013, and then we'd be appointing three standing committee members in 2014. I also added some flexibility into D, or actually into C and D, where the board of directors could extend any of these dates by 31 days, so that if you felt like using a drop-dead date wasn't getting to where you wanted to go, you would have the flexibility to extend those dates. And that's the gist of the changes.
We would still keep the same process where everybody would appoint one, but we may not have five, so we couldn't, you know,
right.
It wouldn't be mandatory. But I think I was pleased with the changes that John put into the bylaws, and I think that he followed the direction that we gave him. So do we have any questions before I go to public comment?
Yeah, I do have a question on A. So we're removing the quorum requirements, if I understand that correctly. But the chair of the committee, if there are usually enough members present, you can still remove an agenda item if he feels that he'd rather have the whole committee present. He still has that option,
right? The chair still has the option to control the agenda, correct.
Okay.
This is just the primary reason for this was the Financial Advisory Committee with only three members. Oftentimes there was only two there, mm-hmm. and we weren't able to get a formal recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can get full five-member committees and we won't have this issue come up. But we just wanted to have the ability to come forward and say we had two members there and this was their recommendation. Yeah. And Mike knows exactly.
Yeah. And if they disagree, then it doesn't go forward. You know.
Yeah, I want to avoid the situation where, you know, two members make a
committee chair, you thought that there was something that was so important mm-hmm. or important enough that you wanted to have more members there or a full committee there, that would be your option to pull that item.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
So you still, as a chair, still have that decision.
Instructions? You know, well, I remember that day.
Thank you. Actually, what you would do is you bring out a number of aces for one and a number of deuces for twos. And then you just let the members draw them out. And ones that drew an ace would have a one-year term, and the number that drew a deuce would have a two-year term. That's the most...
Yeah. You could do that.
I could tell you're familiar with the card games here.
that's basically...
No, that makes total sense.
And just for your own reference, when the board was originally elected to serve on this community services district, that you weren't elected to a two-year term or a three-year term, and at the very first meeting, that's exactly what the board did, is draw a card to determine which members would have the two-year term and be up for election and which members would have the four-year term and be up 4 years for election, hence. So when you see the word by lot in any code section, it means by luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other discussion? No discussion. Can I have a motion then? We'll adopt this by resolution, so we'll have a roll call vote if we have a motion.
I'll move.
I'll second.
Moved by Director Vogel, second by for standing advisory committees and appoint representatives to outside committees. Prior to the discussion of this item, I'm going to make a motion myself that we implement our new provisions in the bylaws and we extend the current terms for the 31 days. We have opportunities then to get more people applying for our committees. So I would move that we extend it for 31 days the current appointments. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have discussion on that? Or pardon me, I have to go to public comment. John, public comment on that?
Yes.
Okay. Can we have public comment on extending the current terms for 31 days? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll bring it back to the board. My rationale is that you see the list that we have. I don't think that, quite frankly, we've done a good enough job in going out and soliciting members for the committees, and I think that we need to do a better job, and I'd like to try to get more applicants in here. We have the same three members apply for the Financial Advisory Committee that we had last year. I'd like to see if we can fill out that committee and perhaps get other people in the community involved. So we are going to push it on our, assuming this motion passes, we'll push it on Channel 20, and I think we need to keep pushing it on our own in the community, et cetera. So that's my rationale for the extension.
I just want to add that on the Utilities Advisory Committee, we also have Lynette Tarnowski is an incumbent.
Does that also extend the term of the chairs?
No, it does not extend the term of the chairs. We did not put that in the bylaws that you just approved. I'm sorry. The chairs will be appointed by me momentarily. So that brings us to the appointment of representatives. Pardon me. Appointment. The appointment by me of the committee chairs and the representatives to outside agencies. And I would like to just preface this by... and I think everybody in the audience knows this. I'm the only board member that's been on the board for more than a year. Everybody else is just entering their second year. And I think it's very, very, very critically important that every board member be exposed to all of our committees so people don't specialize on one committees or have interest on one committee. In the 3 years I've been on the board, I've been on every single one of the three committees. So I'm getting a little pushback from my board members, but... I'm making everybody move around because I want them to get broad exposure on the operations of the district. So with that, then, my committee appointments are as follows. For the Utility Advisory Committee, Leonard will stay the chair on that because I think, quite frankly, he's in the middle of some things that would be rather awkward for me to change at this point. Director Baltimore will be the vice chair. The Financial Advisory, Michael's only been there for a few months, and I've asked him if he would, or if he would take over my position as the chair, and I've asked Director Vogel to be the vice chair of that committee, and I have assured both Michael and David that I will continue to represent the district in the bankruptcy proceedings and that they don't have to pick up on that, so they're just going to be basically working from this point forward, and the baggage from the bankruptcy will be something that I'll still be carrying for them. So, and Director Wright, who served on the Emergency Services Committee, has agreed to be the my vice chair on that committee. So those will be my appointments for committees. Mike will go back from being a committee member to actually being vice chair. For the outside committees, I'm going to reappoint myself to the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. I would like to have a volunteer for the alternate to that, though. We meet four times a year. We meet in Embarcadero. Our responsibility is for the National Estuary Program. You would be an alternate member to the Executive Committee. I really enjoy it because we deal a lot with drainage issues and erosion issues and pollution of the bay from soil erosion and things like that. So
I could do that if you'd like.
Okay, so then David will go as the alternate on Morro Bay National Estuary. And then for Water Resources Advisory, I haven't discussed this with Leonard or Craig or anybody. So if Leonard is willing to go as chair, or pardon me, as representative, I'd be glad to reappoint you, but I do need an alternate for that particular committee. And we've had in the past our general manager, and I don't know if we want to go that way again and defer to ask Mitch if he's available. My preference would be to have a policymaker on the board. So if Leonard's willing to serve or if he has time.
I am willing to serve, but as you know, it is a bit of a time issue for me with when the meeting, what time it is and stuff. But so,
if it, I mean,
I don't mind tag teaming it either.
Unless
David would like to be the alternate on that, and then I could maybe do the estuary. But I don't want to take that away from you. You've already.
I'll stick with the estuary.
Okay.
Just four times a year as opposed to once a month.
I can understand. 4 times a year.
All right, so those will be the committee appointments then. The chairs, these will be effective as of this evening. So what you need to do is contact your committee and make sure that you're still available to meet on the current day. I know, for example, that financial advisory is already going to meet from, or pardon me, change from a Monday meeting night to a Tuesday meeting night. So it will be the responsibility of the chairs to contact their committee. And I really know that everybody gets comfortable on their committees,
right,
and you like to stay there, but I just think it's critically important for two reasons. One is, having done and been on all three committees, I see the value of broadening your experience. And secondly, you know, four of you have been here less than a year. And so I want to get some more experience here and give you guys a broader base of experience to act from. And I know, you know, I've thought about this a lot, and that's the way it is. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment on those? Okay, seeing none. That will bring us to the last item on our agenda, which is we overlaid. Oh, LOCAC. I think we should just appoint Leonard.
Full time?
Yeah. He did such a good job last time. I was really impressed.
He's the youngest member on the board. I should have.
I think I was intending on just staying with the rotation on that. So.
Yeah.
Although I would really like somebody like Leonard. Okay, we do have our regular meeting tonight overlaid with a special meeting, which brings us to item 6C. John?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. We did post a special meeting agenda yesterday about 3:30 p.m.
Special meeting agenda. Adding agenda item 6C to the agenda. And the 6C reads approval of contract with Mitch Cooney to serve as district interim general manager. The posting of the agenda included a staff report and the agreement. And this is consistent with the action that the board took on Tuesday, last Tuesday, where the board unanimously appointed Mitch Cooney as interim general manager subject to the approval of the contract. I want to go over the contract briefly here. It's fairly similar to the contract that we had with Mr. Cooney the previous stint as interim general manager. I will point out the differences. I also handed Ann, right there, Ann, right next to your left hand, a new motion. The staff report had a particular motion in it. Sandy, I want to thank her, pointed out to us that there is a new law related to PERS employees working in positions post-retirement, and I wanted to make sure that after Sandy had alerted me to it that I did draft a motion that would be consistent with AB 10. And it will end on the first of the following to occur. One is 1 week after the permanent district general manager starts employment. So that the idea there is that the new general manager would have a week to work with Mitch to get up to speed, or May 15th, 2012, whichever occurs first. The salary is $3,250 per month. The minimum number of hours that he's required to work per week is 24. The minimum hours per day is 4, and the minimum days per week is 4. There is a maximum cap of the number of hours that he can work, and that is 960 working hours, which is consistent with the PERS regulations.
I just want one of the key thing I wanted to point out is that Mr. Cooney will not be receiving or be entitled to district benefits such as health insurance, retirement, vacation, or sick leave. So to the extent that he does take vacation time, it will show as a deduction against the $3,250 per month. There was one error in the agreement that I passed out, and that is section 4, paragraph B. This is a termination clause in the contract where the board always retains the option to terminate its general managers without cause. We calculated this at the same rate as last time, which was 2 weeks' salary. In the contract, when I calculated it using my longhand sixth-grade math, I came out with 2 weeks of salary equaling $1,265. Mitch, using his computer and calculator and all the technology available to him when he reviewed the contract, calculated it at $1,500, and I've asked my accountant to analyze it, and he agreed that it is the $1,500. So the contract that I have here that's actually signed by Mr. Cooney has the $1,500 in it. I just wanted to point that out. Now, what you have before you in a staff report was a form motion, and what I've passed out to the board is that same form motion, but it includes three findings, one, all of which is validated by the contract itself, but we wanted to make it clear that the contract was consistent with the latest PERS legislation on employing retired employees. The three findings are as follows: that this is an interim appointment to a vacant position during recruitment for a permanent replacement. Two, the compensation for this interim appointment does not exceed the maximum published pay schedule for the vacant position. And of course, there is no published pay schedule for the general manager position. And the third finding is that appointment shall not exceed 12 months from today's date and will not exceed 960 hours. So we will like to conclude those three findings as part of the motion approving the contract. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any directors have any questions of John? Okay, we'll open it up to public comment.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and welcome, Mitch.
He's not here.
I was looking at the empty chair. Just some unfinished business, I think, and I don't know the answer to this. I did request the letter of resignation, and I'm hopeful that I'll be able to see that. It should be a public document since it has been accepted. And to sort of carry that out, have the locks been changed, passwords been secured, email and computer records all retained from the previous general manager. Then the only concern I had with the contract is the 1 week of overlap with the new general manager. I think 1 week at 24 hours is far too little. You know, the district is complex, and even a seasoned general manager would need some time to come up. So I hope you're flexible with that and maybe invite him to stay longer. And then I was curious how we would set priorities for Mr. Cooney, maybe in a special meeting or something where we are talking about the hazard mitigation plan, the nitrate removal CEQA process, the mid-year budget, The budget needs to be well underway before he's gone. So, and then, you know, ideally he would be able to attend some meetings this coming Board of Supervisors. There's three items for Los Osos that, you know, your representative needs to be able to report back to you. So those are some of my concerns, and hopefully I'm happy to welcome him back. I'll help him.
Any other public comment? John, would you like to comment on the letter of resignation, public request?
I became aware
I have become aware that there is a public request this morning. I haven't had time to look at it or to analyze it, but we have 10 days to respond, and I'm certainly sure that we will respond within that 10-day period.
And all public documents will be released.
Absolutely. If they in my opinion, if they qualify as a public record, you bet.
Okay, and then the other thing, we have additional public comment. I'm sorry, I thought we were done. Yes, Leanne.
Well, you're going to be looking for a permanent general manager. Do you have some plan? How are you going to do it? Are you hiring somebody to do it? Is this interim general manager going to spend all his time looking for somebody for you? Or exactly what's involved there? I hope you'll answer the questions. I would like to hear the answer, and maybe I'll have a follow through. No, not permitted.
Since the subject of the new general manager came up, I would encourage you to look in-house to see if maybe you do have somebody that can take over that, since you have quite a staff already. And the other thing is, maybe could be just part-time completely and not a full-time general manager. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Just to answer a couple of the questions, which I was doing, I didn't know there was additional public comment, but yes, the office and all that information is secured. The budget is something that we have already discussed with Mitch, and obviously with his financial background, we're comfortable, and with his experience in the district for 13 months, we're comfortable that he'll be able to slide right into that. Regarding how are we moving forward on the search for the permanent general manager, let me back up on the question of priorities and what's Mitch going to be doing. I am meeting with him tomorrow, assuming we approve this contract tonight, to just give him an update of what's occurred since he was here last. So that's first of all. Second of all, the criteria and how we're going to proceed on the search, our board is going to be scheduling a special meeting to meet with him and us to discuss two things: the parameters that we want in the new general manager, and then secondly, what process we'll be following in procuring that general manager. And one of the issues on the table, as is raised by Don, is whether that person be permanent or full-time. So that will be something that will be full-time in our part-time discussions. Full-time or part-time. I made that same mistake. See, it's contagious, Greg. I guess you caught it from me. And we would like to the greatest extent possible, although it is a personnel decision and there are certain parameters, but we would like to the greatest extent possible, get the community involved in the decision-making process. So that's something we'll be looking forward to doing. Mm-hmm. With that, then, do we have a motion? Further discussion? You going to make it again, David?
No,
you have it there. I don't have it. Well, Mike wanted to. I move to approve the attached contract hiring Mitch Cooney as the district interim general manager based on the following findings.
The existing contract as amended?
Yes.
Yes.
I just need you to say that because John indicated there was an amendment to the contract.
I was going to read the whole thing. But as amended. That's it, then.
With the findings.
You need to read everything.
I have to read it?
We just needed to say that the contract as amended, because what's written in there has the wrong amount.
Yeah, right. The $1,500 was changed. It's right. Not on yes. This.
So if you just say the contract as amended, then read the rest, then we're good.
Okay. The contract as amended, based on and the following findings. This. Let me start over again. I move to approve the attached contract hiring Mitch Cooney with the amendments as amended. And the district's interim general manager based on the following findings. This is an interim appointment to a vacant position during recruitment for a permanent replacement. 2, the compensation for this interim appointment does not exceed the maximum published pay schedule for the vacant position. And 3, the appointment shall not exceed 12 months from today's date and will not exceed 960 hours.
Thank you. Is there a second, Director?
I'll second. Wright?
Second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Muthart?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. And I would like to express publicly my appreciation for Mitch stepping in on such short notice, because I think that he's the perfect person to handle this process as we search for the new general manager, especially as was pointed out, we're going through the budgetary process right now. So I appreciate his willingness on very short notice to accommodate us. So with that, then, we have no further public comment, since everybody here has already commented. Do we have any director comments before we adjourn? No?
Yes.
Oh.
I want to thank the public for its continued participation, and I would like to thank the people who also stepped up and threw their names in the hat for the interim appointment. It turns out that Mitch was very well-suited to the appointment, but we were fortunate to have other people who also volunteered who were also well-suited to the position.
Yeah, and I would like to follow up with that, and I spoke with some of them personally already. People that applied for both the permanent and the interim, we still would encourage you to still go ahead and apply for the permanent general manager. Any other comments other than we're pushing for committee members?
Yeah, I just want to encourage from the Finance Committee, anybody out there that would like to join, for those of you that I've talked to and you haven't got back to me or declined, I know who you are, but I do encourage anybody out there to contact me, and we'll definitely be welcome you on the committee.
Okay, with that then, our next meeting will be, our regularly scheduled meeting is on March 1st, but although we have not finalized the date, there will be a special meeting held between now and then to sit down with Interim General Manager Cooney, so we will public notice that as required, but we don't have a date set for yet at this point. Okay, thank everybody for coming.
Well, the record. Whoa. Please.